Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father, and from our glorious Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to whom we confess our sins, from whom we receive complete forgiveness. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, what is the healthiest way to eat? Way back in the 1970s, Sweden came up with what is known as the food pyramid. What is the food pyramid? I Googled it. A visual representation in the shape of a pyramid of the optimal number of servings of food a person should eat daily from each basic food group. The food pyramid centers on fruits, vegetables, whole grains, and healthy proteins like nuts and fish and beans and some chicken. There are those who emphasize that the healthiest way to eat is to follow a certain type of diet, like the Mediterranean diet, or the Atkins diet, or a vegetarian diet. For those who may have had an unhealthy relationship with food, we see all of those commercials that are on TV today, commercials for Ozempic and for Golo and for Sonobello. What do all of these things have in common? They all emphasize and realize that eating food is not an optional activity, is it? Food is a life and death activity. At the very same time, all of these things remind us that the kind of food that we eat has a dramatic impact on our physical health. I'm sure you can guess where I'm going with this. As you and I continue looking at Jesus' statement, "I am the bread of life," today the Holy Spirit wants us to see that Jesus is the bread that gives us both wisdom and life. Last Sunday's gospel lesson, today's gospel lesson, and next week's gospel lesson all come from what is known as Jesus' Bread of Life discourse. All three of these gospel lessons flow out of the miraculous feeding of over 5,000 people with just five loaves of bread and two fish. But as you know, many of the people who benefited from this glorious miracle either misunderstood and or rejected what Jesus was trying to teach them. For that reason, Jesus restates the truth that he wants them to understand, namely, that Jesus is the bread of life. Since our goal today is to see that as the bread of life, Jesus gives us both wisdom and life, let's see how our text for this morning highlights those very same blessings. What is the wisdom that Jesus, the bread of life, gives to us? That wisdom is summarized for us in the opening verse of our text. "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never go thirsty." In order to help us see the wisdom contained in these words, we need to take a step back. We need to step back and look at the bigger picture. After the miraculous feeding of 5,000 people with just five loaves of bread and two fish, this large crowd of people wanted Jesus to give them more food for their bellies, more bread for their physical bodies. In the bigger picture, we see that in his Bread of Life discourse, Jesus tried to lead these people down a very logical path. Food for the soul is more important than food for the bread. Food for the soul comes from heaven above and is described as bread. This bread that comes from heaven above is in the form of a person who came from heaven, a person who gives life to the world. And then Jesus once again shines the spotlight on the very essence of true wisdom when he says, "I am the bread of life. I have come down from heaven." The wisdom that the bread of life gives to us is not a wisdom that this world could ever possibly discover and or produce on its own. The wisdom that the bread of life gives to us is not a wisdom that we can learn or achieve on our own. The wisdom that the bread of life gives to us is a gift that comes to us from God through faith in Jesus Christ. That's what the Apostle Paul was trying to help us understand in our epistle lesson for today when he talks about God's secret wisdom, the wisdom that the Holy Spirit has revealed to us. Paul told us, "We have not received the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we may understand what God has freely given us. This is what we speak, not in words taught us by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, expressing spiritual truths in spiritual words. The man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them because they are spiritually discerned." Think of it this way, my friends. As the bread of life, Jesus gives to us the wisdom of knowing, believing, trusting in who he is and what he has done for us. As the bread of life, Jesus gives us this true wisdom, the wisdom that we can only receive from him. The Apostle John then goes on to make it very clear in our text that this large crowd of people, they just did not get it. They didn't understand it because of their unbelief. John tells us, "At this, the Jews began to grumble about him because he said, 'I am the bread that came down from heaven.' They said, 'Is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How can he now say, I came down from heaven?'" Like many people today, many people in this large crowd rejected Jesus' claim, "I am the bread of life that came down from heaven," because they could only see Jesus from a human perspective. They automatically connected Jesus with Joseph and with Mary and not with heaven. Because they could only see the human side of Jesus, they grumbled. They grumbled at what he was trying to teach them. Do we ever grumble like this, my friends? Do we ever grumble because we do not always get immediate gratification from God? Does God ever seem a little bit too human for us unless he gives us what we want and when we want it? We need to be careful. We need to be careful that we don't grumble when the good Lord does not give us the tangible yet temporary things of this world. We need to be careful that we always treasure the true wisdom that Jesus, the bread of life, gives to us. Why is it important for us to treasure the true wisdom that Jesus gives to us? Because together with that wisdom, the bread of life gives us the assurance of eternal life in heaven. Look at what Jesus says. "Stop grumbling among yourselves. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day. I tell you the truth, he who believes has everlasting life. I am the bread of life. Your forefathers ate the manna in the desert, yet they died. But here is the bread that comes down from heaven, which a man may eat and not die." The people who were grumbling were fixated on the physical. They literally wanted Jesus to literally give them as much manna as they wanted, just like Moses did for God's people of old. That's why Jesus had to remind them of what happens. What happens when we are simply focused on the physical? He reminded them, "Your forefathers ate the manna in the desert, yet they died." Picture that scene in your minds as Jesus, the bread of life, stood in front of this large crowd of people. He knew. He knew that they considered themselves to be rather spiritually well-fed. He knew that they were well-versed in all of the man-made rules and regulations that they had learned from the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and the teachers of the law. But all of these man-made rules and regulations, they were like spiritual junk food. It gave the people the false hope that if they do this, if they don't do that, then they can earn life with God forever. Remember, these are the very same people who had just asked Jesus, "What must we do to do the works God requires?" Jesus burst that bubble of false hope when he said to them, "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him." When it comes to true life, when it comes to spiritual life, it is impossible for us mortal, sinful human beings to achieve this life on our own. It is impossible for us mortal, sinful human beings to decide or to choose that we want to live with God forever. The bread of life gives to us that gift that comes from God's amazing grace. In his love, in his mercy, in his power, the Heavenly Father draws us. He attracts us to himself. In other words, when it comes to our conversion, when it comes to how we became a Christian, God is the one who does all the work. But what does God use to achieve this miracle that we very simply call conversion? Think of what Paul told us in Romans chapter 1. "I am not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God." That could rightfully be translated as the power that comes from God or the power that belongs to God. "I am not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes, first for the Jew, and then for the Gentile." Through the glorious message of the gospel, as it comes to us in God's holy word, in God's holy sacrament, God the Heavenly Father draws us. He attracts us to himself. Through the glorious message of the gospel, as it comes to us in God's holy word and God's holy sacraments, Jesus, the bread of life, gives us life, true life, everlasting life, as he describes it here in our text. To everyone who has been given this glorious gift of life, Jesus also makes them a very glorious promise, doesn't he? He says, "I will raise him up on the last day." Think about what that means. It means that all your family, all your friends, all your loved ones who died believing and trusting that Jesus is the bread of life will one day be raised from their graves. It means that when it comes time for you to close your eyes in the sleep of death, you can do so with the confidence of knowing that one day Jesus, the bread of life, will wake you up so that you can live. Live with him. Live forever. But what gives Jesus the right to make such a powerful promise? Look at what he tells us in the closing verse. "I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world." Eating the flesh of the living bread is a picturesque and, I would say, a memorable way of describing faith in Jesus. To be more specific, eating the flesh of the bread of life means believing and trusting in what Jesus did for us on the cross of Calvary's Hill. This cross assures us of all of the glorious eternal blessings that we have already been given. This cross assures us of the glorious eternal blessings that we will be given because Jesus, the bread of life, willingly gave his life, his flesh, as the ultimate payment for all the sins of all the world. The Apostle Peter reminds us of this very same truth when he says, "For you know that it was not with perishable things, such as silver or gold, that you were redeemed, bought back from the empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect." So, my friends, what is the healthiest way to eat? When it comes to our physical bodies, there's a whole variety of questions or answers to that question. One person might carefully choose their menu based upon the guidance that they get from the food pyramid. Another person might carefully choose their menu based upon the guidance that they get from a specific kind of diet. Yet another person might throw all of that guidance out the window and simply eat whatever they want. As Christians, we always need to be conscious of the fact that when it comes to our faith, when it comes to our soul, when it comes to the spiritual aspect of who we are to be extremely careful about the spiritual food that we ingest. There is a whole smorgasbord of artificial, non-nourishing spiritual food that the spiritual marketplace of this world freely offers to us. But there is only one spiritual food that gives us true wisdom. There is only one spiritual food that guarantees to us everlasting life. That one spiritual food is Jesus, the bread of life. To God be the glory. Amen. Please rise.